Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We've got one more testimony this morning. We don't have time for everybody to do this. That's why we did the cardboard testimony. But we're going to give Cindy a pass because she couldn't do the cardboard testimony. She's on a walker. Anyway, she asked me if she could give a quick testimony this morning. So this is Cindy Shelton. She's one of our members, and she's had some tough days, but she wants to give glory to God. So, Cindy.
Yes, I want to tell you how good God's been to me. I have several things, but the main one is MS. I had 7 fractured ribs on the left fall and 5 on the right. I broke my back at Royal King. I broke my hip and had to go to rehab to learn how to walk all over. You know, there were some dark times. But Jesus picked me up each and single every time, and I'm so thankful for him. And I haven't driven since August of last year. I drove to church today. You know, that's the only place I wanted to go, and I'm here, and I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. And I love you all.
Woo! Can't get up and preach after that, you might as well go home. Hallelujah. If you don't sense the presence of the Holy Spirit right now, there's a big disconnect. Aren't you glad the Spirit of God is here today? Amen. Now, that sounded like a funeral home praise. Let's really give God some praise today. Hallelujah. Glory to you. All right, I want to talk to you this morning. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And I want to talk to you about the GOAT of all homecomings. The greatest homecoming of all time. This is a fantastic homecoming Sunday. Austin Peay's having homecoming today. Their football game in spring. I know that's messed up, right? But I want to talk to you about the greatest homecoming of all time. Are you ready for this? I don't know if you are or not. Let's all stand as we honor God's word one more time, if we might. 1 Thessalonians 4. It's way over there in your New Testament. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. I always read that and I say, thank you, Jesus, that you don't want me to be ignorant. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, by the way, that's the gospel right there. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Woo! For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, that's us, who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Woo! Glory to his name. Father, would you bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, authoritative, infallible,
irresistible word today. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. And all God's children said, amen. Please be seated if you can. I was going to tell a story, but that's going to take up some more time. So something, you know. The Apostle Paul's writing to some new believers at the church in Thessalonica. And he'd been teaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And you know, this has been some 30 plus years past the Lord's homecoming and homegoing. And so some of these new believers are wondering, some of our loved ones have died and passed away. Are they going to be slighted in some way? Should Jesus come quickly? And so their hearts are a little bit troubled and stressed. And so Paul writes in this passage of Scripture to not only to teach, but to encourage and comfort. And that's what this passage of Scripture is all about. It encourages the child of God. It comforts the child of God. It makes me just want to... I mean, Jesus is coming. And that's what gets me up on Monday morning. And I don't know what your bad day is, but mine's usually on Monday morning. And the fact that Jesus is coming just starts. Now, the event that we're talking about here is the rapture. Now, you will not find the word rapture in your Bible. But you won't find the word Sunday school in your Bible either. Right. Or covered dish. Or pot, whatever potluck is. But in the third century, this Jewish historian, Jerome, wrote and translated the Hebrew and the Greek Bible into Latin. And the word that was used for this event in Latin was rapio, which we get our word for rapture. That's right. So this is a great event that's going to happen soon and very soon, I believe. And so we're going to look at the greatest homecoming of all time. Now I mentioned that the purpose of this passage was to comfort and encourage the children of God, and it is. And the first comfort we find there in verse 13 that when a loved one who is in Christ dies, they are simply asleep. This is the Greek word koimao, which means to sleep or to rest in Jesus. And isn't that a great way? Your loved one that's in Christ that has passed away, they're not lost. They're just simply asleep. And when you see someone sleeping, what do you eventually expect out of them? Wake up. Right. And so that's a comfort that these dead believers are simply sleeping. They're asleep. Now their body, in a sense, is asleep, but their soul is more alive than they've ever been, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, if you die in Christ, you're always with Christ. There is no separation for the child of God. You can't get away from God's love. I mean, isn't that wonderful? And so that's the first comfort there. And when we come to a graveside, we grieve and we sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. I've done many funerals of some lost folks, and man, it's heartbreaking. And so that's a comfort, knowing that our loved ones are simply sleeping, and one of these days they're going to wake up. We're going to talk about that. Then the second comfort here is found in verse 14, that if we believe that Jesus died and rose, how many of y'all believe the gospel? Amen. Well, if you believe the gospel, even as Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected, so too will our loved ones. And that word sleep, I like this. Even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. In other words, the souls of our loved ones who have passed, who are in Christ, all of that is with Jesus. And they're more alive than they've ever been before. Y'all do know heaven is a place that's more real than Clarksville, Tennessee. I heard somebody say this is heaven on earth. Oh, no! This place pales in comparison, right? And so that's the second comfort that's mentioned here. is that Christ is coming again. And when He comes, those believers that are already with Him and their body sleeps are going to wake up to the greatest homecoming that's ever been experienced or ever will be. Now, let's get into the meat of the message. There's four promises, or really five, but there's four wills or shalls in verses 16 through 18. And I don't know how you all, some of y'all would probably think it's heresy to put a mark in your Bible, but you ought to see mine. Not in my preaching Bible, but in my study Bible, I'll underline and circle and, you know, all kinds of things. And there's four wills or four shalls that give us four great promises. And the first in verse 16 is the promise of return. Here's the first shall. For the Lord Himself will, shall, circle that, descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And so that's first of all the promise of return. Jesus is coming again. The Lord Himself will descend. Soon and very soon. Where's the Lord Jesus? He's at the right hand of the throne of God. And He's going to step down off that throne and come what I believe to be the Shekinah cloud of glory. That same cloud that guided and guarded the children of Israel all through the wilderness. And He's coming. And it's the Lord Himself. Now, you know, the Old Testament prophesies over 333 predictions about how the Lord would come the first time. Did He come the first time? Did y'all celebrate at Christmas? I mean, He did come, right? And even as He came the first, there's Phyllis back there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pardon me, I'm way off the chain today, so no telling what I'm going to say or do. But you know, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven. Not Muhammad. Not Joseph Smith. Not Harry Krishna, not Confucius, not Buddha, not some Hale-Bopp comet, not some starship or the Enterprise. It's the Lord Himself will come. And He is coming. Make no mistake about it. This is the promise of return. The return of Christ Jesus. Whoo! What a promise. He is coming for His children. No more separation. And you know, there's three sounds that accompany this return. The first is a shout. The Lord Himself will shout. Well, you know what I noticed? Every time Jesus shouts in the New Testament, every time He shouts, there's a resurrection that takes place. Did you notice that? When He showed up at the tomb of Lazarus, a man who'd been dead 4 days, Bible says He cried out with a loud voice. That's a shout. Lazarus! Come on out of there! Come forth! And a dead man came walking out of the grave. The Bible says when Jesus was on the cross, He shouted in a loud voice, "It is finished!" And the Bible says in the cemetery outside of Jerusalem, graves opened up, and some folks were raised from the dead and went into the streets in Jerusalem. Every time the Lord shouts, and when He shouts here, I don't know what He's going to say. But you know what He said to the Apostle John? When He kind of raptured him up to see all this stuff that was going on in the book of Revelation, "Come up here." And He didn't say it like that. "Come up here!" I don't know what He's going to say. This is just, you know, sanctified imagination. But I believe I'm going to hear my name. That's what He did with Lazarus. Right? Cal! John 5:28 says, when He shouts, they will hear His voice in their graves. Whew. And then there's a second sound. It says that the voice of the archangel. Now, over in Jude 9, the archangel Michael is contending or arguing and kind of wrestling with Satan over the body of Moses. And I don't know what Michael's going to say, but it may be something like, "Well, Satan, you thought you had us, but your plan didn't work. The saints are all coming home." the voice of the archangel, and then the trumpet of God. Now, a trumpet was used for a lot of different things in the days of Israel, but there was one particular trumpet blast that was used to assemble the nation. Oh, Gabriel's licking his lips this morning. And as I said last week, when he toots, we're going to scoot. Amen? And so there's the promise of return. Are y'all with me? This is great stuff here. This passage of Scripture just grips my spirit and my soul this morning. That there's a second shall, and that leads to a second promise. He says, latter part of verse 16, and the dead in Christ will, there's the second one, circle it, shall rise first. The dead in, that's the promise of resurrection. The promise of resurrection. Now, if you're a believer, we believe some wild stuff. We do. Because what he's talking about here, when those three sounds happen, graves all over the universe are going to open up and give forth those that sleep in Jesus. Think about that. Think about that. People who have died a martyr's death, who have been beheaded, folks who have been burned up at the stake, folks who are at the bottom of the sea. But you know what? It doesn't matter where they are. Anybody that could whisper and the whole universe springing into existence out of absolutely nothing won't have any problem putting us back together again. Right? I love the old nursery rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. But you know what that nursery rhyme doesn't talk about? It doesn't talk about the king. Yeah. Our king is going to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Amen? Yeah. Give God praise. Hallelujah. This is the promise of resurrection. And then there's a third promise, and I'm moving quickly. Then we who are alive, verse 17, and remain shall be caught up. That's that word there. Snatched away. Harpazo. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Not on the earth. In the air. This is the promise of rapture. This is the promise of rapture. Now, I may not look like much to y'all today in this Wally Burchett sport coat. This is our color, by the way. Those of you wondering, why does he look like some kind of lit up Christmas tree? Teal is our color here. That has nothing to do with anything. But I may not look like much to you all this morning, but I'm going to fly the friendly skies one day. Yes. Learning to live. Learning to die, and one of these days we're going to learn to fly, as the Gaithers say. So, this is the promise of rapture. 1 minute we're here, 1 second we're here, poof, the next minute we're in the air. Yeah, glory. And I think, now again, I'm using my sanctified imagination, you know, in Sango, when the trumpet goes off and the Lord descends, Diana and myself and Isaac, we're going to rise, poof, in a nanosecond. And then I'll kind of look over there, and there's my mom and daddy already ahead of me out of Greenwood Cemetery. And we'll start seeing all of these. Oh, Marty, I tell you what, have we got time? Turn left in your Bible to 1 Corinthians. I can't wait till Brother Billy Walker gets to this in his Bible study. But take a look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, 50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. All of us, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's a nanosecond. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so, you hear those three sounds. Those who are asleep in Christ, their bodies are going to be raised, and their soul and their spirit's going to be reunited. They're going to have a body like Jesus. And then we who are still alive, we're going to receive our glorified bodies. And bless God, there's not going to be any more cancer. We're going to be healed from all those wrinkles. The perfume and the cosmetic industry is going to be out of a job. Hallelujah. Not going to be any more wheelchairs, walkers. No more oxygen tanks. No more heart attacks. Bless God, we've got so much to look forward to. This is the promise of rapture here, though. For we who are still alive. When I last saw my daddy, he died October the 20th of 2012. He was down to about 80 pounds, skin and bones. Cancer, leukemia, dementia had done a number on him. And I picked him up, got my hands, and it was just like, oh. But when I see my dad again, he is going to be in the prime of his life. He's not going to have to worry about all that other stuff that took him and put him in a grave somewhere sleeping this morning. Oh, the promise of rapture. Think about that. The pilot's going to leave the plane. Bless God, the cook's going to leave the kitchen. The captain's going to leave the ship. The bus driver's going to leave the bus. The center's not going to have anybody to snap the ball to because the quarterback will be gone. This is an amazing event. And only believers are going to be a part of it. And everybody else is going to be wondering, where in the world? But the old Antichrist, he'll be able to sell the goods and people will believe the lie. That's another sermon for another time. But that's the promise of rapture. But maybe this is the best of all. Here's the last shall. Latter part of verse 17. And thus we shall always be. Shall always be with the Lord. That's the promise of reunion. How many of y'all like family reunions? How many of y'all don't like your family? Got you, Pam, huh? This is the promise of reunion. All God's folk, we're going to get home together. Snatched up. And the tense of that verb there is almost to the point of violence. Just being snatched away. Rising to meet the Lord in the air. Whoo! Teddy, it's going to be fun flying, brother. And then we're always going to be with the Lord. Always. Never separated. I've brought this illustration up before, but my wife's family, those are the largest family get-togethers I've ever been in anywhere. The Stokes' reunions. Granny and Big Daddy, I guess, kind of started those things many years ago. But y'all know, y'all ever been to where the Jefferson Davis Monument is up in Kentucky? Is it Russellville? Is that where that is? Something like that. What? Fairview, yeah, Fairview. And we would go up there one day in the summer every year, and all the Stokeses would be there. And you talking about a crowd. There was food on every picnic table in that park. And the children were all climbing and swinging in the playgrounds. the teenagers would be over here playing ball, and the older ones, you know, who weren't kin, were flirting with one another. And of course, the parents and the grandparents were, you know, swapping lies about their grandchildren and passing pictures. And this stuff would go on. We'd get there about noon, 1 o'clock, and this would go on till dark. But at the end of the day, I always noticed Granny and Big Daddy got kind of sad, because they knew that next year somebody wouldn't be there. Not here. Because at this homecoming, we shall always be together with the Lord. And you know, the word therefore in verse 18 is another promise. It's not another will or another shall, but it kind of is. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that a blessing? This is not the end of the story. This is the great promise of relief here. Comfort one another. Be a blessing to one another. Encourage one another with these words. I don't know when. It could be Sunday morning, March the 21st, 2021. Nothing else has to happen. The rapture could take place right now. Do you hear it? There's a commotion going on up in the throne room. The father looks over at the son and says, "Son, I've had enough. It's time to go get our people. And the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Come up here." And the voice of the archangels, "Well, devil, all you demons, your plan hadn't worked. All the saints are fixed to enjoy the goat of all homecomings. And then there'll be a trumpet blast." I always have loved to hear a trumpet. I don't know what that sounds like. I don't know who's going to blow that shofar in glory. But it's going to happen. And when it does, the Lord is going to descend on the cloud. And we're going to hear His voice. And graves all over this planet are going to open up. And those that sleep in Jesus are going to rise. And then we who are still alive, we're going to be changed in a moment. With our glorified bodies, never to die again, never to get sick again, never to argue and fuss and fight and war and divorce again. Amen? We're all going to be together with Him. And we're going to rise. One group's going to be those that have been asleep in Christ in the grave are going to go up singing, "Oh death, where is thy sting?" And then those living believers who are rising, they're going to go up singing, "Oh grave, where is thy victory?" By the way, I've learned both choruses. And we shall be together. I'm so glad God's got all the details. He's got it all worked out. And we really don't have anything to worry about if we're in Christ. That's the key. Because you see, you either die in Christ or you die in your sin. And if you die in your sin, you have to pay for your sins for all of eternity. Why would you do that when Christ died and paid the price for all your sin? And got up from the grave so that you could be resurrected like Him and be with Him forever. Bow your heads with me, would you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, please, nobody looking around. This is the most important time of this service. If you're here this morning and you say, "Pastor, I don't know if I'm ready to go or not. I'm not sure I'm on my way to this homecoming. I've been a good person. I've done a lot of good things. You know what that'll do for you? It'll get you straight to hell. What you need is Jesus. And that's why He came. And if you'd place your trust and faith in Him, right now, you'll be ready for this great reunion. I want to ask you, if you're not sure about that, if you've got doubts, if you've got fear, I want to ask you just to pray right there in your seat. Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I need to be saved today from all my sin. And I believe, Father, your Son died for my sins. That's right. Just repeat this in your heart. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He's the Lord of the universe. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and save me. I'm going to live for you all the days I have left. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask, is there anyone here that prayed a prayer like that this morning? If you did, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. Just wave at me. Raise your hand up in there and wave at me. All right. Anybody else? Glory to God. Well, based upon what the Word of God says, you just were born again. You were saved. Now you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You're a brand new person. You're living for Him, not for you or anyone else. You're living for His glory. And you need to do what He's telling you to do. And I want to ask you just to get up out of your seat today. I'll be right here to receive you. And we'll get some stuff in your hands. We'll help you to get started in your new life with Christ. Or maybe there's another issue and you just need to bathe the altar in prayer today. You just do what God's calling you to do. Do you love the Lord? Do you know how much He loves you? It's His desire that you might follow Him. And then you'll enjoy this great homecoming. Brother Andrew, what are we going to sing? Let's all stand.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.